Welcome to episode 254 of Flyaway. We're a group of agents from Outlander Travel who get together every week to talk about all things travel. Whether you've been listening for a while or just tuning in, we're happy you found us. We truly believe that travel has the power to change the world, and we want to inspire others to come along with us. We chat about destinations, current events, our favorite experiences, and lots more. We love to hear your feedback and ideas for topics, so be sure to connect with us on our website, Facebook, or Twitter. My name is Laura, and this week I'm joined by fellow Outlander travel agents George, Sandy, Donna, and Elizabeth. We're also joined by one of our more frequent guests and favorite guests on the podcast, Marcus, who happens to be Elizabeth's son. Elizabeth and Marcus recently had the opportunity to experience one of Avalon's active and discovery river cruises on the Rhone River through southern France. Although river cruising is not normally marketed toward or intended for kids and the family market, we think that some families would enjoy itineraries like Avalon's active and discovery offerings. To test this, Elizabeth asked Marcus to be her guinea pig and journey down the river with her this summer. Tonight, we thought we would hear what Marcus liked, didn't like, and really loved about the trip. So let's get started. Welcome, Marcus.
Yay, Marcus.
Hello.
So Marcus, just so that our listeners know, what age are you and what grade are you in?
I'm 13 in grade 8.
Okay. And you have done a lot of ocean cruises, but this is your first river cruise, right?
Yeah.
Okay. So you and your mom chose this itinerary, or did she choose the itinerary?
She chose it.
Okay.
I pretty much said to him, hey, look at this. And he said, okay. I said, you want to go? He said, okay.
So why did you choose this itinerary?
It was presented as a choice. This was actually a travel agent trip, so I did receive a small discount on it. And we had two itineraries to choose from. One was this one. One was the Danube, which actually I had just been on the Danube, not with Avalon, with another product. So I wanted to try something different. Plus, I really love France.
And what was it about this itinerary that drew you towards it?
I've never been to this part of France at all. So it was going to be something completely new. We flew into Paris, but after that, we were in places that I have never been before. And I've been to France about four times in my life. This is the fourth. So, you know, I feel like I'm getting slowly but surely, I'm going to see all of the country visit after visit. So it was so different. I love the history of that area. I also love the wines of the Provence region, but unfortunately, this trip couldn't be that much about those because Marcus isn't quite, he's almost old enough in French standards.
Yeah, really. I was going to say, they start him at 4 years old, you know?
The joke was 12, and, you know, and he certainly was offered the opportunity a couple of times, but technically he's not old enough.
Really? So where did the boat go?
So it started in Lyon, and it kind of just
went south.
Yeah, it just went south. I don't really remember most of the places, but
so we went to Viviers, and we went to Avignon and Arles. No. And there were a few stops in between that as well, but those are the major.
Where did it start? Where did you get on?
Lyon.
And where did you get off?
We got off at Arles.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yep.
Okay.
So where did you
find? Did you get to do any really cool Van Gogh stuff in Arles?
Yeah. So we did. We did a quick hike. It wasn't too hard, but then
says the 13-year-old.
Yeah, and then after the hike, we went to. It was I don't know how to describe it, but it's kind of like you walk into a Van Gogh painting. So there's a bunch of projected screens.
Oh.
And walk around.
Oh, I've seen that. I want to do
it's
that.
It's not screens. It's a quarry.
Yeah.
So it's an old quarry. So the rocks are sheer, you know, and
Oh.
The way they do the quarries in France, especially in Provence, they don't want to disturb the landscape. So rather than just tearing down a mountain, they dig caves into, you know, so they basically put a hole into the side of the mountain so you can still see the mountain, but there's a big hole in it, and they pull the rock out. And so they've taken this old quarry and turned it into this amazing, like, video projection area. And it was all over Facebook before we went. They actually, the same company did a version of it in Paris, but this was the, this is, and they do a different show every year. So this year it happened to be Van Gogh, but it isn't always Van Gogh.
Yeah, it was Van Gogh in
Japanese art.
Yeah, that yeah. same one is still going on in Paris.
Is it still going on? I thought it had
closed. No, it's still going. I have clients going in there. They're going to, we have tickets to it for them.
Oh, that's funny, because they told us that it just closed. So I believe you, because you have tickets.
We have.
So we could have technically done it in Paris and then also and compared it, but.
Because you guys started in Paris, right? That's where you flew in.
So we flew into Paris. You can fly directly into Lyon. Well, it's not really direct. I mean, it depends on where you live, I guess. But you could fly to Lyon. But we went to Paris for a few days first. And then we took the train to Lyon. And then we flew back from Marseille, which is where, you know, if you're... Because you can do this either northbound or southbound. We did southbound. So if you're going to do it northbound, you would fly into Marseille. And then there was a transfer that will take you to the ship and all.
So
about an hour.
So Marcus, we talked a little bit at the beginning that you have done some ocean cruises. How is this different than an ocean cruise?
It's a lot smaller. It's a lot easier to get around, and you know the people better. It's kind of like, because in an ocean cruise, there's
5,000 people. Yeah,
there's like 5,000 people, and you know, you meet a couple people, you know, at dinner or stuff like that. But you know, you don't really know that many people there.
What?
So on river cruises, I mean, there was only 90 people on ours, and we had the chance to talk to everyone. So,
what would you find on an ocean cruise that you're not going to find on a river cruise?
Water slides.
Ding, 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 ding. How about like musical performances or big theater shows?
Yes. There's you know, in ocean cruises, they have like movie theater stages and stuff, because they have a lot of space to do that. But the river cruises, it's actually pretty cool. And every place we go, they would bring on entertainment. To be like, there's like a gypsy band once with
the Gypsy Kings, a member of the Gypsy Kings and some of his family.
Yeah. Yeah, and they like came in with their guitars and dancing and stuff. Then they had like some people who also did singing and dancing. There's a lot of singing and dancing. And one person, they got a chef from Lyon to do a cooking demonstration, and they made like lemon tarts, something like that.
Lemon meringue.
Yeah.
Yeah, and he was actually the pastry chef on board, but he is French. So,
did you get to participate in that?
No, but a lot of other people did.
Yeah, you could have.
I could have.
He took volunteers from the audience. So, yeah, it was a demonstration, but it was set up where, you know, you could come up and beat the eggs, or you could come up and
like a paper chef.
Yeah, it was a little bit like that. So he would have different people come up at different times.
So did you meet anybody on the ship that you kind of hung around with or enjoyed spending time with? Besides your fabulous mom?
You did.
Yeah.
Yeah, I guess so.
Were there any kids? Any other kids?
No, there's no kids.
You were the youngest person?
Yeah. Someone else was 19, but that still wasn't kind of a kid, but they're still pretty young.
She was super nice, too.
Yeah. But everyone else was a lot older.
My age.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, and I mean, there were a few adults the adults were very kind to him. You know, there was no, of course, he's a good kid, too.
He's not a tiny kid.
Right. He wasn't running around screaming and, you know, cutting up. He was.
Are you sure about that?
I'm positive. No. Would have been really
easy.
So
he went to bed and then he
said, well. No, you know what? You're not lying. I actually went to bed the first night that the dancing was happening, and Marcus came into the room shortly. It wasn't too long after. And I said, was everything okay? And he said, yeah, they made me do the YMCA. So there was a bunch of ladies from Australia on the dance floor. And that sort of became a running running theme for the rest of the cruise. Everybody was trying to get Marcus to dance. It wasn't too hard to do. So.
I don't know about that.
Is there anything that you liked better about river cruising?
I'm not sure. I think probably the just like people, because you know the people, so
yeah.
You know it's not gonna.
So you're gonna build relationships better.
Yeah.
Did you feel like when you go on an ocean cruise? Did you feel like you get to know the countries a little bit better on the river cruise? Like to see more of the countries that you're going to?
Yeah, because it's.
When we do ocean cruising, do you enjoy going to the ports or do you enjoy being on the boat?
I enjoy being on the boat.
Yeah.
Because on the river cruises, not much to do, but on the ocean cruises, it's a huge ship with a bunch of, you know, stuff. There's a bunch of stuff. There's entertainment, there's that Royal Caribbean one. Roller skating,
mm-hmm.
there's all that stuff on the river cruise. I mean, the only reason that cruise is there is just to take you, like you eat and sleep there, and that's really it. They kind of want you to get off the ship. It's definitely more. River cruising is definitely better for exploring the country.
He was really anxious to get off the ship when we would get to places. You know, there wasn't much to do on the ship. Whereas when we're on an ocean cruise, he's totally fine if we never get off the ship. But, you know, there was one afternoon where I was kind of like, well, I might work for a little bit. He's like, no, what? Let's go into town. Let's go walk, you know. And I had mentioned, you know, maybe going into town. And he was like, no, we're going to do that. So, and he would have been fine had I really needed to stay on the ship. But he was ready to get off and explore. So,
yeah.
So there are three kinds of excursions on the ship, right?
Mm-hmm. Active discovering classic.
Good.
And which ones did you guys do?
We did all of them, right?
Yeah, we did a little bit of all of them. So that hike that he was talking about would have been considered an active. And it was two different levels. So Marcus and I split up, actually. He did the more uphill, downhill, faster
yeah,
one.
Yeah, the one I did was more of going up and seeing, sightseeing. And then the one my mom did was more strolling and like looking at nature and stuff.
Yeah. Well, we did go up. All of us went up at first, but mine was a little bit slower. Yeah.
Now, how much time did you actually get in each port? I mean, was it more time than an ocean cruise?
Yeah, it was about a day in each port. Sometimes. Yeah.
Some places we were overnight, even.
Yeah, some places we were overnight, and then we'd leave kind of day. Yeah, and it would be like every day you would have a morning excursion and then an optional afternoon excursion. Which would be kind of smaller thing.
Yeah, and the afternoon ones were extra. So, and those still also followed the active discovery and classic. So the hike was active. The discovery would have been like the cooking class that we did in Lyon. We did a Lyonnaise cooking class. And that was actually a cooking class where we went to a cooking school and we made three courses. And Marcus was very adventurous in that. And he also, you know, he got to participate kind of thing. And we all did, you know, it was sort of a shared cooking experience.
I dropped a lot of cheese.
Did drop a lot of cheese.
What did you make?
Right into your mouth.
I wish.
It was sad. It was wasted.
What did you make, Marcus?
So we had like salmon on a thing of cheese.
Yeah.
I think that was like our appetizer. Mm-hmm. And then we had steak or mm-hmm. you know, beef. Steak, beef on mashed potatoes. And we had like a peach and like peach and caramel
mm-hmm.
Thing. And they were all in like tiny bite sized pieces, of course.
Yeah, so Marcus ate as much as he possibly could. I think he ate somebody else's mashed potatoes at one point.
No.
No.
I just kept on grabbing more beef.
Okay.
You just kept what?
Grabbing more beef.
Oh.
Yeah, the beef was in a fry pan, and we could each, you know, put a little bit on our potatoes, and so there was some left over, and Marcus was like, doink. So, and then everybody, of course, let him do it. And then the other one is classic, and we did do a classic when we did the Pope's Palace in Avignon. It was followed by a food market thing, though, like a tasting thing, so that might have technically been a discovery. Yeah, but the first part, it was definitely what a classic would normally be, where you went, we walked and saw the Pope's palace and walked around it.
There wasn't much in it. It was a lot of like old paintings and it's a big empty palace. There's not a lot of, you know, old Pope architecture from the Middle Ages and Renaissance ages.
Yeah, it was sort of ransacked during the wars, so there's not much there.
Yeah, they didn't like the anti-Pope, so, you know, got rid of him, you know.
Well, it wasn't even that. It was like the military used it as barracks at one point, and they just, you know, they just
destroy everything.
Yeah, there was like a nice wall around it, so I mean, it was like a fortress.
Mm-hmm.
And the Pope's palace. Mm-hmm. A little... Really nice.
Didn't you guys do a class, or maybe it was before the thing about chocolate or something?
Yeah, we went to the Valrhona factory.
Yeah.
So
we bought a lot of chocolate.
Yeah, we bought a lot of chocolate. But yeah, the Valrhona factory was interesting. It's in a little small town, Tournon, I think. And it's actually across the river, so it's at the other little town that's across the river from Tournon. And it's this little chocolate factory that sort of started there. It's a tiny little town, and it just grew into this amazing, world-known chocolate.
Yeah.
And they let us in a chocolate tasting, where we actually had to smell the chocolate.
And smell it and then bite it off, or bite a tiny, no, a bite, tear off a tiny piece. And then you would chew that one and like taste it. And then the other one, the bigger piece, you would put it in your mouth and let it melt in your mouth and then like kind of get the full taste of it.
And you'd have to talk about it was very much like a wine tasting. Like you had to talk about the flavors, and I mean, you even had to listen to the chocolate. They're like, if it's good chocolate, it'll snap when you break it. So you had to break the chocolate so you could hear the snap. So we tried like four different levels of two milk and two dark.
Yeah, it was like one really milky, one kind of milky, one really dark, and one kind of dark.
Mm-hmm. With different origins for the beans. So they talked about the different origins and how they take on different flavors. It's very much like a wine taste.
Did you make, as I thought I saw something about making a chocolate bar.
Yeah, I'll have a little bit of mine, but I'm not showing it to Sandy because she'll eat it.
Really excited.
We have more chocolate downstairs, actually. But yeah, so they, you want to tell them about?
Yeah, so we got a bit of milk chocolate, melted, and then we have it in a cup and pour it on a tray, and have that, and then put little beads in it, and the beads would be of different flavors, so like one caramel, I guess it was like chocolate ones too, different flavors of chocolate. And then they'd cook it and tell us
not cook it.
They would like make it cold. They'd make it cold to freeze it. And then they would bring it up a little bit so it'll snap. So it's not, because if it stays cold, then it will not last as long. So they make it a little bit warmer.
Wow, I never knew that.
And they said it'll last about a year.
If you don't eat it.
So what flavorings did you put in yours?
I think I just put everything without looking at it.
There was white chocolate, dark chocolate, milk chocolate, like caramel. But they're basically like those little crunchy beads. Like, I mean, it almost makes it into a Nestle crunch bar. Except
they have flavor.
And what he's talking about, people who know something about chocolate who are listening, what is he talking about? He's talking about the tempering process and how you have to keep it at certain temperatures. And they talked a little bit about the like white if you chill it too much. Yeah. And so they had a very professional kitchen with a automatic tempering machine, so we didn't actually have to temper our chocolate. They showed us how to do.
Oh, that's good.
Yeah, I mean, it was basically this. It was like a chocolate fountain of tempered chocolate. It was amazing. So yeah, you could have made anything there.
Willy Wonka.
Yeah.
So of all the excursions you did you have a favorite?
I think so. We went to a crocodile farm, and I think the Leonese cooking. So the Leonese cooking was pretty fun, but I think the crocodile farm might be my favorite because it was just really interesting.
There were crocodiles.
Yeah, there was crocodiles in France.
Wait, why are there crocodiles in France?
A lot of them were rescues, and some people would have like pet crocodiles or pet, you know,
snakes. So it's kind of like why we have a big cat rescue.
Kind of, except for the actual origin story was it was originally created to raise crocodiles for the skin. And the people around it objected so much, it actually became a sanctuary. So it's sort of like the perfect irony. You know, it was created in order to farm.
You know, Cindy, like some people want to hug baby hippos. Other people want to hug baby crocodiles.
Yeah.
They were
kind of. No, thank you.
They had an entire like beach just filled with crocodiles. Wow. Like we walked up and it was just like a butt, maybe 50, mm-hmm. 50 crocodiles just sitting there.
How do they keep you away from them? Like
it's a fence, and I think
you know that. Like I just watched a video of an alligator climbing.
Yeah, there's natural barriers with like canyons and things. Actually, but that's the thing. Some of the crocodiles were down in canyons. But we were pretty high above them, all things considered. So,
and we were like walking on bridges and stuff. So
and I think they would have had to actually climb upside down at some point, which I'm not saying they can't do, but.
Well, I guess they probably are fed enough that they're not.
Yeah, I mean, we watched one of the guys show an example of the feeding, and he had a couple like in full, like uncooked chicken breasts.
No, not chicken breasts,
chickens. Full uncooked chickens, then he'd throw them. He threw it to the biggest one, the dominant one first, and then he to the other ones, and they were vicious. They would open their mouth, the chicken would go in, and they'd close it, and it's gone.
Wow,
and you can hear the jaws snap. I mean,
kind of like you with pretzels, huh, Marcus?
Hey, and I saw you ate an oyster too.
Yeah.
So you know we're gonna recreate that Thanksgiving.
Yeah, I was gonna ask you. You know, what was your favorite thing? What was your least favorite thing? But I was pretty sure that the oyster was gonna.
Yeah, I didn't really like. I mean, I know some people definitely did like. They enjoyed the whole process of you know how they made the oysters and how they farmed them. But to me, it was just hot, sticky, and
so it was cooked.
It's like eating snot.
Oyster, but it tasted just like salt water.
Okay, salty snot.
I love
salted snot. Yeah, I think that's.
Did you eat it, Elsa?
Oh yeah, I enjoyed it. What I didn't realize was that it was going to be accompanied by mussels. So I only had like two because I didn't want to risk because the mussels were cooked in the same place and I'm allergic to mussels. So, but the farming was actually really interesting and they took us through the whole process. It was hot and it was a bit of a large group. One of the nice things about a river cruise is often your groups are very small, and so you can easily see everything. Oyster farm, it wasn't always that easy to see. It was, you know, oysters are kind of small. Even the big ones are kind of small, and when they're working with them, it just, you know, if you're not in the right place, you can't,
can't that's see why it wasn't Marcus's favorite thing because his oyster was too small. He wanted a really big one.
They were big. They were big.
Yeah, I couldn't get it out of the shell either.
Well, I didn't see until after he tried his. They had plastic shucking knives that were actually pretty cool, but I don't think I could have paid Marcus enough money to try a second one. So. Well,
you
know,
if you hadn't popped it and you had just put that in your mouth without doing it, it would have been even more salt. So probably good you did get some of the juice out.
Yeah, he's not amused.
I love oysters.
I don't mind them when they're cooked.
Yeah. We have to cook them a lot.
Yeah. There were cooked ones. And I mean, most of it was cooked. And there were some raw ones as well that some people tried. And they showed us how to put lemon juice on it to make sure it's, you know, still alive if you're eating it raw. And,
They said to check if it's fresh. Like, you put lemon, you get a lemon, you squeeze a little bit on it. And I think you, like, touch it a little bit with a knife.
It seizes up. If it moves, then.
If it kind of moves and seizes up, and, like, that's a fresh oyster. But if it doesn't, that means it's not.
That's interesting because I ate oysters at the state fair in Alaska a few years ago, and they were raw. And I remember because I don't usually eat raw oysters; I eat them cooked. And I'm like, I might regret this. And it turned out it was good, but I didn't do that lemon trick. I'm glad I know that now.
There's actually another couple from Merle's Inlet there.
No way! Yeah, they have the best oysters in the world. Yeah. Merle's Inlet.
Elizabeth, you've been on a couple of river cruises. Marcus, now you've been on one. Has anyone else been on a river cruise? George, have you been on one?
I'm going in December.
Oh. Nope, not yet. Hoping for 2021.
Do you have any questions you want to ask Marcus? He's your inside information here.
Well, how did you like the rooms in comparison to, say, an ocean cruise?
They were definitely smaller, but I mean, they were they were good. They were like, they had nice seats. They had nice beds. I didn't break. They had
the first hotel we were in, which was a very nice hotel. I sat down on my bed and the one of the legs collapsed, which for a girl of size is not very fun.
No.
And it. And then it broke again, and then they fixed it. So I basically was sleeping on a slant for the first 3 nights in Paris.
Yeah.
Well, Jeff did that too, and he broke through the slats of the bed.
Oh, twice. No.
It was 3 times his butt was on the floor.
It was clearly a bad leg. It really wasn't, because it would break even if I wasn't on that part of it. It just wasn't stable. So.
Yeah.
Anyway.
But the bathroom was actually very nice. It was like at a slant, and the shower was a lot bigger than I expected for it. And a river cruise. It actually looked a little bit bigger than most ocean cruises, showers. Mm-hmm. And they had like really good shampoos and soaps and
amenities. Yeah, you would have gone crazy throwing them in your purse.
Yeah.
Well, and we should say Marcus is 13, but he's also 6 feet tall. So comfortable beds and big showers actually do mean something.
Yeah.
Well, and for those people who hadn't been on a river cruise, tell them what's a little different about the room.
The room for an ocean?
No, this one.
It is one question for me. So on most river cruises, you may have a balcony or not, but whenever they give you a balcony, all river ships have to be the exact same width. They have to be able to fit through the lock. So they can't be any bigger than a certain width. And so they have to use that space somehow. So one river cruise line will give you a balcony on one side of the ship, and the other side of the ship will be French balconies. French balcony is where you just open your window and you have a bar there so that it becomes a balcony. But in doing that, that means that the French balcony rooms are very small, and then the balcony rooms are much bigger, but your balcony factors into your square footage. So what Avalon does, which I loved, is they're all French balconies. They call them these panoramic suites, unless you're on the first floor where you sell the duck level windows. You don't want a French balcony there because you get wet. So you can open this French balcony. The door opens more than 7 feet.
Wow.
It's this huge piece of glass. So when you open it, you actually do feel like you have a balcony, but in essence, your room has become the balcony. And then they face the beds toward the window, which Avalon, I've gone through all the trainings, I've been to a lot of conferences, and they talk about these beds facing the window every single time. They have all these ads, and I'm like, yada, yada, yada. What does that really mean? Is that really, it's fantastic. It really is fantastic. You can sit in bed and look out the window. The curtains are blackout curtains. So if, you know, if you're sleeping, you're sleeping. But if you're not, you can look out the window. And then the back wall, sort of this magic wall, they actually call it the magic wall. It's on a slant, and you can tell it's on a slant. I mean, it's not like it's a mystery. Your beds are sort of diagonal towards the window. So you're not like facing straight onto the window. It's sort of just a little diagonal. And by doing that, that's how they give you that big shower. By doing that, they've actually created more room in the bathroom that you didn't really need for the beds, because you have all that space in the room because you don't have a balcony. So they sort of gave you back a little bit of bathroom space, and it really is nice. So in some river cruises, you'll feel like you're sort of sitting on the, when you're sitting on the potty, your knees are kind of in the shower. You know, everything's really, really close together. And it felt like it felt like our bathroom's at home. I mean, I felt really comfortable in them.
Did you like come back to the room and drink coffee and watch the world go by, or? Well, I know you didn't drink coffee, or maybe you
didn't. I didn't drink coffee. They talk them up though, but
we did. I mean, yeah, Marcus wasn't too keen on sitting in the room as much as I was. So I kept opening the balcony window, and then he would close it back. He wanted to go out and about a lot more than I did. Although once he sat on the couch for a while, he was like, "Oh, this is pretty comfortable." He grabbed his pillow, and so
a nice couch.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, I would love that. That would be very relaxing to me.
Yeah. And there was I loved it so much. And there was a lot of storage space. I also found out that the wine in the mini bar is cheaper than the wine at the bar. So, it wasn't the best wine on the ship by any stretch, but so getting ready, I didn't feel bad for grabbing a wine out of the mini bar. I just, poured myself a glass of wine and getting ready. Yeah, I bought stuff in the mini bar. I didn't let you buy stuff for the mini bar.
Yeah. Now, is it true? I mean, I know some of the river cruise lines, they have free alcohol during meals. Was this true with Avalon?
Yes, they have free beer and wine during dinner and lunch. And there are actually usually mimosas available at breakfast if you want, but they don't really advertise that. Some cruise lines do provide either a happy hour of some sort. Avalon, on say AMA, the happy hour is complimentary. On Avalon, the drinks are half price.
That's nice.
So, yeah, it is nice. And I didn't, you know, I wasn't unhappy with my bar bill at the end. You know, it was lower when I was on AMA because I, you know, but in all cases, I partook of happy hour, and enjoyed that discount or free.
Now, do they have beverage packages like cruise lines?
Not at all. And, you know, I will say on Avalon, I don't think I saw anybody buy a bottle of wine. I have seen that on other, you know, they'll have their house wines and then you can buy. Of course, I was also in France and the house wines are always good. Well, I mean, they're usually local to the area or at least something is. So, I mean, we were having French wine from Provence. I saw no need to ask for something else.
To partake of anything else?
You had bought some wine, like, one of the towns, you could bring it back on.
Absolutely. Yeah, absolutely. No corkage fee. Yeah, they'll bring you a glass and they'll bring you a corkscrew if you need one. There was a bottle opener corkscrew in our room. So yeah, and that's very typical to go out. I actually, on this one, I've been on other cruises where I've purchased more alcohol, either beer and or wine to take home, but because I was with a kid, I just didn't do that as much.
So I have another question about the demographic. I know there wasn't a lot of teenagers, but it being like an active discovery, I would think it would have a bit of a younger crowd than your typical river cruise. Is that true?
Yeah.
I'm not sure how an all river cruise is, but I mean, there's definitely
some younger people over 30 or old. So
there was an Instagram couple on our cruise with like 73,500 followers or something, like big deal. And they were in their early 30s at best. I was kind of surprised to see them on a river cruise. It's fun to watch them work too. But other than the 18-year-old,
would she like do heart hands and things?
They did do a few things like that. And I mean, they were a very beautiful couple too. So they're very photogenic. Other than them and the 19-year-old and Marcus, I would say everybody else was over 40. Yeah. But I do think, I mean, I do think that there were a lot of 40 to 50 year olds on this, and definitely even the older people on the cruise were very active.
Okay.
So I think there was like a 90-year-old grandmother on board. Is she that old?
Yeah,
I don't know how old she was. She was up there, and she was out there on the dance floor gigging every night, and you know, definitely an active group.
Marcus, how was the food on board? Did you have stuff that you liked?
Yeah, they really would serve you anything. I mean, it doesn't make sense because of how small of a cruise it is, but they, like, you ask for a chicken, they'll give you a chicken. You ask for, you know, they had pasta one night, and I asked for pasta with chicken on it, and they had like teriyaki and they had beef and pretty much anything, like any night. They'd have their different entrees every dinner and lunch, and breakfast was the same, but they'd have different entrees for dinner and lunch, and they'd also have the same three things. They'd have chicken, beef, and I think salmon,
I think, yeah.
Yeah.
And actually and I never tried it because all of the menu items looked so good, but they said the regular steak that's like on the everyday, like you can always get it. It's a filet mignon and it's excellent. And I think I saw somebody last night order two of them.
You never tried the steak all week?
I didn't try the everyday steak. They had steak, you know, as parts of other things. So I had steak, but I didn't have the everyday steak because everything else looked so good.
Yeah, and everything.
And it was.
Every single day they had something that I would eat, and I'm very picky. So that's.
Would Robin eat it?
I think most of it she would have. She would have asked for something plain.
She's like, oh, some mac and cheese.
Yeah. I was a little bit more adventurous on this too. He was, you know, trying some sauces and things that he normally wouldn't even try, but yeah, he ate really well. And they went over and beyond. You want to talk about the service a little bit?
Yeah, they had incredible service. They would, I mean, once again, they would do anything. like they would give you anything. Like, so I always ordered apple juice or orange juice, no matter where I went, because everything else was alcoholic.
Or bubbly. He doesn't like sodas.
Yeah. Or stuff like that. And they were really desperate to try and get me to try something else. And I was able to get a strawberry daiquiri, which they don't normally serve.
Wow.
Yeah, the server said it was at lunch, and he was like, "What can I get you? What do you want? You want hot chocolate? You want?" Mark's like, "No, no, no." And he's like, "Tell me what you want. I'm gonna. Do you want a Shirley Temple? Do you want a?" And he said, "How about a strawberry daiquiri?" And I'm like, "Oh God!" It's like we're on. No, no. He went up to the bar and got a strawberry. And I mean, I didn't even know they had a blender on board. You never heard it go. I certainly didn't see anybody asking for drinks. And he came down with two I got one as well. Virgin strawberry daiquiris, and the bartender later asked me if he liked it, and you know, so they were all in on it. Like they all wanted to do something nice for this 13-year-old who clearly was hanging out with old people the whole week.
And how was it, Marcus? Yeah.
They felt very sorry for him.
It tasted just like probably better than most of the ones.
Yeah, it was really good. It had cherries in it too. It was really good.
And cherry, strawberry, and just like. I didn't even know they had whipped cream on there.
Yeah. Well, they did. I knew that because it's French, but.
Oh, yes. I would imagine some desserts would have that.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Yeah. And for dessert every night, he had vanilla and chocolate ice cream. He didn't have any of the other desserts. And it was never on the menu. It was on the menu the first night, I think. And then it was like pistachio ice cream or raspberry sorbet or whatever. He's like,
I cooked in the cream one night.
Oh, did you really?
Our mint chocolate chip. Yeah, that was one of the different things.
Okay. So, yeah, but if it wasn't something that he wanted, you know, that he knew that wasn't familiar, he was like, can I have vanilla and chocolate, please? And they brought it every single time.
Yeah. How about the breakfast meals? Were they plenty there that you liked?
Breakfast and lunch were buffets. So for lunch, breakfast, they had a breakfast chef who would cook eggs, mostly omelets, but he would also cook fried eggs and scrambled eggs. You know, whatever you want, and then you just have, you know, your classic bacon and potatoes and
no toaster strudels,
no toaster,
no Mickey Eggos,
no. So much bread.
They ate a whole bunch.
Oh my God. And baguettes. I have never seen anyone eat so much bread in my life. His second and third plates would be bread. That's what it.
Well, that's the great thing about France is they've got usually a whole section of the buffet table is cheese. And another whole section is breads. Exactly.
Well, the other thing that I'm working on is the chef was, he did finally tell me that the cheese that they use in the omelets was like a grated cheese. And Marcus really liked it. And he's been really picky about the cheeses with his eggs. And so I asked him, I was like, can you tell me what the cheese is? And he wouldn't tell me what the cheeses were, but he told me that there were two cheeses. He said, it's a special blend. And I was hoping he was just kidding and he would eventually tell me, but he never did. I know I'm not going to be able to really recreate it. I have a few ideas because I'm sure it's French cheese that I can't get here. But I'm messing with the cheese that I put in his omelets trying to figure out. I've eliminated Parmesan. There's definitely no Parmesan in it. It's probably Gruyere. I think there's Emmentaler in it.
That's what they make fondue out of.
Yeah, I think some of it's Emmentaler. And then it was the amount that they used. But Marcus loved the omelets, so I'm working on
those. And like I usually never finish an omelet because I just can't. I can't eat. I mean,
too much cheese.
Yeah, I think the striped cheddar is just too
cheesy.
I don't know. Too sharp. It's too sharp. I can't.
You can get that mild.
Yeah, we could get that mild. So, but anyway, it was a nice learning experience for me because you know he normally doesn't want mild cheeses. So, learned something else about my boy. And we played a lot of cards. We made the most of the fact that there wasn't a whole lot to do.
I love that.
Yeah, we never play cards at home ever. Yeah. Nobody else in the family really likes to play.
We'll go on a trip. Like when we stayed at Universal and we're in the lounge, we're like, can we have the Uno? And we opened the brand new. That was one of the funnest nights we had.
We played Scrabble too, but I nearly killed Marcus and decided we weren't going to play again because it kept building like two-letter words. I'm like, dude, what can I do with a two-letter word?
Make it a three-letter.
So yeah, Scrabble was not.
You know, that's what I've heard from clients and friends who've done river cruises is they said it's a very good like relationship building time. It's, you have a lot of time to talk and to just be together. And, you know, like Marcus said, there wasn't tons of stuff to do. And they find up kind of, you know, doing the YMCA dance and playing cards with your mom and, you know, things like that, that you kind of do if you were hanging around in your living room, you know, with a lot of time together. So.
When people started joking, oh, they're playing cards again. We were like the card playing people. But we actually, like, I taught him Gin Rummy, which he'd never played before. I taught him Double Solitaire, which he didn't like. I taught him, like that. So he taught me BS. Is that the one? And then there was we played High Low, we played Blackjack. And actually, he lived in one of our BDMs from Avalon was on board. His name's Michael, and he roped Michael in to play BS. And so we learned how to use our poker face to our best advantage and take advantage of our own BDM. But
did you have Wi-Fi on board?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It was pretty good.
I mean,
for a ship.
Was it extra?
No.
No. Mm-hmm. I mean, it wasn't good for me because I'm a teenager and I need to use my phone. But, I mean, it was all right. It was
obviously if you were playing card games, but well, so no streaming like Netflix.
We did play Spotify a little bit, or were you using what music you had stored on your phone?
I'm not sure because that was stored on my phone, but it probably worked on Wi-Fi.
Well, but I mean, you're also on a river, which there's cell towers right off the river, so you're if you really want to, you can.
We were able to use our phones most of the time, and the Wi-Fi would drop out every now and then. But I think too that they did that on purpose sometimes. Like I would get up in the middle of the night and check, you know, if my email was on or whatever, and I wouldn't have the signal. So
I'd have to. Marcus and Elizabeth, I'm going to ask you a question for both of you. What do you think that would make this like a better option for families or large multi-generational groups?
I think if they want to bring kids who are like 5 years old, not a good idea. I mean, unless you're going to keep them entertained while you're sailing, there's nothing that you're going to be able to do. Because they don't want to splash in a hot tub. They want to splash in a big pool with water slides. They don't want to. Depends on how your kid is. Because if it's a normal energetic kid who just wants to run around, they want to take them on a river cruise. But ocean cruise. but maybe if your kid's more of, you know, history buff and likes to explore more, then that'll probably be the active discovery would probably be the best for groups of families with kids who are, you know, like that.
I think groups is the key too. I think had we brought one other family with one other kid, Marcus would have been like 80% happier. Would you don't you think?
Yeah, I think
there'd been one more kid on board, it would have.
If I brought my brother, it'd probably be better because, you know, might have.
Well, you were miserable, Marcus?
He wasn't miserable.
But you can, you know, you always could have brought your brother too.
Yeah. Well, and, you know, honestly, I had not really thought about bringing his brother because his brother doesn't like tours and learning. You know, he doesn't like that sort of heat. But he does like the active stuff. So if Finley had come along, they probably would have done more of the canoeing. We didn't do as much of the active stuff. And that was a lot. I let Marcus really drive a lot of the choices. But of course, both my kids are really good about also looking at me and going, you're not going to want to do that, are you? But when he heard about the hike with the Monet, he's like, I really want to do that. And I said, well, we'll try. I mean, at least one active we can do. And he also decided he really wanted to do the canoeing to the Pont de Garde, which I had actually talked to him about before we went. He said he didn't want to do it. And then once they talked about it on the ship, he wanted to do it, but they didn't have enough people to go, which is just as well because we were not prepared. I didn't bring water, shoes, or anything like that. So that's something to know when you're doing active and discovery. You actually do need to pack a little bit differently than you would for a regular river cruise. You need more active clothes. So I saw people in yoga pants every single day. You would have been so happy.
Yeah.
there's people who like to show up every day wearing a hat. Right around.
It was very casual.
Yeah.
So
dinners were more business casual, like not like full suit, but kind of like, I guess, polo and khakis, polo and jeans. And there's two nights, the chef's dinner and the captain's dinner. which was a lot more formal. It was like, that was probably, that was a more suit and tie event. Mm-hmm.
But you didn't wear a suit and tie. You just wore nice pants and a shirt. And
that was fine. Was that the night that you were kind of all dressed up, hanging out with your mom?
That was the captain's thing.
You looked very handsome.
Another nice thing Avalon does is the captain's dinner is the second to last night, not the last night. So you know, don't have to rush around packing and all.
I have one more question about the room. If you had wanted to bring in, like, did you fit three people in a room?
Yeah. I mean, unless someone's going to, no, because the beds aren't really that big.
Yeah, I mean, they do have solo rates. So I could have put the kids in one room and then me in another room by myself. But,
could you though? I mean,
yeah.
Do they connect or?
No, they don't connect. But I mean, I have a 13-year-old and the ship is like as big as my house.
Yeah. It's not. That's another way. They're not really, they're not really set up for like that type.
Yeah.
But they don't encourage young people.
Right? Yeah. But honestly, from the first room to the last room is, I don't know, maybe 10, 15 paces.
I think 17. Room 17 was like close to the end of the hallway.
Yeah, and room 1 was at the front.
Yeah, it was like 1 and then maybe 15 in the middle. So maybe like 30 rooms, 60 rooms per hallway. No, 30.
Yeah, I would say there's probably, 20 rooms.
Yeah, 20 or 30 rooms per hallway. So it wasn't a quick walk to get to the room. And like there was onboard entertainment. And I was sitting like at my room. Near the end of the hallway, and I could still hear the music, which is all the way in the lobby in the front of the ship. So it was definitely very easy to get around.
With the door open, the ship was very soundproof. I don't want to get it. Because like, we would open the window and hear all this noise, and then we would close the balcony and it'd be dead silent.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, I was outside the door.
Yeah, and I think it's worth mentioning for anyone who's listening who might be a single traveler that Avalon does occasionally have nice promotions that you're travel agent can tell you about that where the single supplement is waived. So it makes, you know, going on one of these as a single traveler affordable. And I think they're really generous with that.
Yeah. And if it isn't waived, sometimes it can be very low. It can be a very low single supplement. So yeah, I mean, I think if Chris didn't want to go on the trip and I wanted to take both boys, I could absolutely do that. And just put them in a room, you know, I would be in a room by myself and they would be in the next room.
Bring a friend and then you have like two adults.
What friend would I bring?
Oh, I mean, just a friend.
Some kind of beer and chocolate snitching friend.
We did, and magic band borrowing. Yeah, we did actually have two beds, you know, we had the beds pulled apart. So lots of rooms, they're pushed together. And I actually, when I was on AMA with Amy last November, our beds were also separated, but we could literally hold hands very easily from the bed. I mean, if we wanted to, there really was not a lot of space between the two beds. I could stand in between the two beds wide, you know, and still have them on either side. I felt like we were pretty decently far apart. Whereas in the hotel in Paris, the beds were like right next to each other. They were just made separately. So it was like one bed, but exactly. Yeah, I could have rolled over it. Except the leg that was broken was on the other side, so I was more likely to roll out.
Than on I would have put him in the person.
I tried, but he's like, no way.
I called this one.
Okay. Well, that's our show for this week. Thank you for hanging out with us. We would love for you to share your life-changing travel moments with us on our Facebook page. You can find us on Facebook as Fly Away or from the podcast page on OutlanderTravel.com. Please be sure to subscribe to us and leave a review wherever you get your podcast. We would love to hear from you. Special thanks to Marcus, woohoo, for joining us tonight to share his thoughts. On behalf of Sandy, Donna, Elizabeth, George, and myself, Laura, thanks for joining us this week. Gotta fly!